For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, we did the test. We picked every game for the Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals, and we did it one by one, trying to stay in the present. We don't know what those records were that we picked. Now's the big reveal. What do you got? Or what do we got? You tell us.
Let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll go reverse and finish with the Steelers.
Okay.
Bob has the Bengals finishing 10-7.
Oh, Bob.
Currently 4-5, Bob. Yeah,
I mean, holy horse oil.
That's six
Nothing.
Wins.
It's good.
They can do that.
They're it's exciting. Yeah. That's all. Next.
Joe, you have the Bengals finishing 8-9. Ooh.
It didn't feel like that.
Yeah, it sure didn't, but there were
Are
a lot
you sure
of losses.
About that, Limits?
Yes, Joe.
You're wrong on
we
that.
We need to get an accounting firm to double check all of this now. I think it's right. A little confusing.
I'll add them again.
And what do you have?
9-8.
Man, Bob, that did not seem like I had the Bengals losing that many games, did it? Bob?
It was hard for me to tell because of the way we did this.
Joe, on a recount, you are 9-8. I was wrong by one game.
All right. Thank you, Limits, for doing the recount. All right. Next, Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens. Bob, 11-6, the final record for Baltimore.
Mm.
Joe, 12-5 for Baltimore.
Holy
Only two more
milk.
Losses the rest of the way.
Wow.
And I have the Ravens at 10-7.
Okay. How about the Steelers?
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Bob Pompiani says 11-6.
Ooh.
Joe Starkey says 10-7.
Mm-hmm.
I say 12-5. Very hesitantly, because as soon as I said they'd win in Cleveland, I wanted to take back that pick and say 11-6.
All right. So I have the Ravens winning. And then the Steelers as a wild card, and maybe the Bengals as a wild card. Bob, you have a tie atop the division, and I think a split. So what do we go to after the split?
Conference,
the divisional record conference or conference?
Record. I think it's conference, isn't it?
It would be conference record, yes, in the AFC.
So then what happens? I don't even know. It's too much to figure
too
that
much
out.
To figure out. I'm not going to put limits
would be
on that
playoff
task.
Bound, though.
Yeah, so we all have every one of these teams finishing with certainly even Cincy with a winning record. Bob, you have Cincy at 10-7. You think they're going to catch fire down
the
stretch.
I think their schedule is doable for them, yes. And with Joe Burrow being healthy, all things remain, you know, injury reliant here. If something happens to him or something happens to Lamar Jackson, then all bets are off. Same is true of the Steelers quarterback situation. So, but yes, I think they're good enough to do that with that schedule.
All right. Let me ask you guys a little batch of questions regarding the second half of the season. I will say this, Bob, to this question. Your major concern about the Steelers in the second half. I'll go first here, Bob. And it was my concern before the season, and they all laughed at me. It was depth along the defensive line. And first of all, I don't think Ogunjobi's having a great year. Keanu Benton's been up and down. Cam's been unbelievably good. And then who? The only other two defensive linemen who even played in the last game were Loudermilk and Lowry. If I'm Omar Khan, I'm looking for some defensive line depth at the deadline, and I'm not real impressed lately, for the most part, with how this line is holding up against running games. You've had no names. Teams with bad running games come here to Acrisure and run on them. What are the Ravens going to do? You know what I mean? What are the Eagles going to do? I think that's my biggest concern for the second half of the season is their defensive line, especially the depth. What's yours?
You know, you went first and you took mine too. I have the same concerns because of the run game and the numbers of yards they've allowed. And Cam Hayward was very upset with that the last game at home. 145 yards to a running back who's a good young running back, but he shouldn't be doing that in that game, especially when Daniel Jones wasn't exactly throwing the ball down the field with a lot of success. So that is a concern, followed closely to me by depth at cornerback. I'm not sure that they have enough depth there to sustain one big injury. But you could probably say that about every position, I think. Depth. It's hard. Look at the offensive line. They're going to get Frazier back. That's a big thing. But if, you know, if you get two more injuries there, you're going to be dealing with a lot of different people at a key position.
I thought this was potentially a great defense after the first three games of the season. I don't think it is. I don't think it is a great defense. I think it can be still be good to very good.
They're not giving up a lot of points per game.
I know, but they've gotten lucky and they're playing crap offenses like the Raiders, who just fired their offensive coordinator, the Giants, and the Cowboys lately. I'm not impressed. And the Cowboys ran on them and went down the field twice in the fourth quarter to beat them. And I thought the Giants moved the ball pretty good for a lot of the night. I'm just, after three games, after Atlanta, Denver, and the Chargers, I thought this could be Mike Tomlin's best defense in a long time. I no longer feel that way. You?
I think it still can be. I've seen enough evidence to make me think that. Yes, they've had their problems with stopping the run, but they have a chance to change that. I still think they're edge rushers. I think their secondary, when healthy, is still good enough to cover guys and make things available in the sack game for the upfront guys.
Man, that's my second biggest concern is the secondary. I don't think they're good enough to cover teams that are deep at receiver. I don't. I saw what Darius Slayton did to Dante Jackson the other night. I'm not convinced that Cam Sutton should be playing. First of all, was it Pat Pete? Somebody, a former NFL corner the other day, said he doesn't, I think it was Pat Pete, said that Sutton shouldn't replace Beanie. What's your thought on that?
I would think they're going to work both in slowly. I think Cam Sutton will play, but I would not penalize Beanie Bishop because the guy's coming back from the suspension. He's played well enough. I thought he's gotten better. He's made big plays at big times. People talk about critical plays. Well, he's made them at critical times. You can tell me all you want about a lucky bounce off the shoulder pad or the helmet of Garrett Wilson. Fine. He was there to make it. He was in position to make it. I know he got beat on that play too, but you know, the one to me, the play that changed everything for the Steelers was the interception against Aaron Rodgers right before
yes.
halftime. If he doesn't make that play, and it was a really smart play on his behalf, their season may be totally different right now, because I think that game would have turned out to be a loss against the Jets. And who knows what happens the following week if that should happen. So that was huge for me, and I'm not going to bench him or make him lose his job because of it.
Limits, your biggest concern heading into the second half with the Steelers is what?
My biggest concern is still wide receiver. I want to see them add another guy because they've played some pretty decent defenses, but at the same time, they haven't played very good offenses. So what's going to happen when they play a Philadelphia, when they play a Kansas City, when they play Baltimore, and they get more into a shootout type of game? Especially with the defensive struggles that we're talking about. So I don't think they have enough weapons, if they add one more, for Russell Wilson at his disposal to be able to win those types of games and keep up.
Man, an injury. Imagine an injury on the defensive line right now. I told you, Bob, coming into this season, and I know they've already had some injuries with Leal and other guys, I just don't like the depth at that position, and I'm not sure Ogunjobi's having a very good year as a starter. You?
He Ogunjobi's kind of, I do think he makes plays when he gets in there. You see him once in a while, but you don't see him enough for me. You know what I mean? I think he's talented at what he does, but it seems like games go on and you never see him. You never hear his number called. And all of a sudden, he'll make a big play at a big time. So, you know, I'm not so concerned about him. I am concerned more about the people behind him, though. They're going to have to come up with better opportunities and better results when they get on the field. I've waited a long time for Loudermilk to be the kind of player I thought he was going to be. And while he does make a play here and there, it's not enough.
I agree with you. 100%. And that was it. That was the concern coming in. What about Patrick Queen? That's my next question. What grade would you give him so far, and where does it go from here?
B-, and I think he improves to a B+.
See, to me, these two issues are intimately related, and that is you have to have a defensive line that keeps blockers off of your linebackers, and I'm not sure, by and large, they're doing a great job of that, and I don't think that he takes on, I don't think, as Chris Hoka said in here, that taking on blocks is his strong suit. So I'd give him a C- so far.
C-.
I'm curious. You say above average.
Yeah.
So if your expectation,
I thought he's gotten better as the year has gone on, and I was willing to take some time to learn how he could fit in with them, and I think that first 3 weeks showed you that he wasn't what people thought he would be given what he's made in free agent contract. But I think the last several weeks he's been more involved, and I expect him to be even more involved as these next games take place.
I'll be really honest with you. I've barely noticed him, and I'm surprised by that. I thought when they signed him, he would be an extremely noticeable player. I've barely noticed him. How many tackles for loss does he have, Bob? How many forced fumbles? None. Fumble recoveries? None. Sacks? None. Why are you giving him an above average grade?
Because I think he's been there. Now, some of these tackles occur later in, and this is the problem with the run game. When you get through the first line of defense, he's there, but he's 4 or 5 yards down the field making tackles. His tackles and those numbers are okay. He needs to be more, and I think we'll see that. Again, it's an incomplete situation right now.
Well, definitely, for sure.
And I'm not going to react as if he's going to get worse. I think he's going to get better.
No, I'm simply grading him on what he's done so far. He made one good play in the last game on a pass play. And other than that, like I said, I haven't noticed the guy. He's got games with one solo tackle against the Jets. He's got two tackles for loss on the year. Well, I guess I expected way more of a playmaker. He was second team All-Pro last year. What would you give him so far?
Right around a B-, C+. I mean, part of it is the defensive line, but only two games have I been like,
I'm shocked
Patrick
that you
Queen
guys
did well.
If you start out with, I start everybody out with a C, and then if they exceed my expectations, it goes up. If they don't, it goes down. I don't know if you grade that way, but I'm not seeing a guy who's exceeding my expectations. He's not even meeting them so far. But I'll acknowledge, Bob, that he's gotten better, I guess.
Well, we'll find out as the year goes on, because they're going to expect him to be that guy, especially when he's in there and Peyton Wilson is in there as well. He covers a lot of ground, Peyton Wilson. I've seen some real progress in his game.
Yeah.
And Alandon Roberts shows up when you need a big stop in the
run
game.
He's very good against the run.
Right.
There's no doubt. And Highsmith, I think one thing we all learned, while it's going to be great to get Herbig back, I think we learned the value of Alex Highsmith. And he's right below star level, isn't
he? It's not just about sacking quarterbacks. It's about being involved in the run game as he is.
Yeah. That's a huge part of his repertoire. And he's also, by the way, coming off a game where I think he had, 11 quarterback pressures?
Yeah, he was terrific.
I thought he was their best defender in that game. Limits?
Even PFF thought so. They graded him very highly.
They have Cam Hayward ranked number one at his position in all of football this season. What a comeback he's had.
Something considering, how many big plays does Lawrence have for the Giants?
Mm.
And he's in that position too. And Cam has been really good. And there's no doubt that people had their concerns about his age. But again, he continues to just defy those situations and keeps getting better. And he has been better this year than I thought. And he's not been injured yet. Knock on wood. Hopefully that stays the same.
And TJ Watts, they need him. Second at linebacker too. Out of 110 eligible linebackers.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. All right, Bob, next question. Where does the second half go with Mr. Russell Wilson? Do you think the trajectory will continue to go upward here? Arrow pointed up kind of guy? Is he going to come back to reality maybe against some better competition? If you think the competition is better, there's some question about, I don't know that the Ravens and Bengals have as good a defense as, say, the Jets that he's already faced. But the question is out there, are these first two games what we're going to see from Russell Wilson? Is he going to be this good?
I don't know
better?
If he'll be this good. I think he won't be as good, but I think he'll be very effective in doing what they want him to do, which is to use the play action to his advantage. The one thing I'd like to see more, and if you look at his pass charts, you won't see many throws in the middle of the field. This continues to be an area that I think is it could be a real big real estate advantage for the Steelers if they decide to use it more. They don't use it enough for my taking, and I want to see that. And that specifically goes to tight ends. You know, they dress more tight ends than they do cornerbacks, it seems, every week. When you're dressing that many tight ends, Arthur Smith, I think, wants to profile some of them, and I want to see more in that part of the game. If that happens, I think, man, the deep ball, becomes more unlocked. The swing passes underneath those kinds of plays, the little 10-yard things that turn into 13 to 15-yard gains. So I believe they're going to see more of what we've seen, maybe not 400 yards a game, but certainly that kind of consistent play. I don't think he's going to make bad turnovers.
What do you think's going to happen with him, Bob, if you had to guess right now?
Year,
you think he's a $40, $30 million quarterback? What's he going to want? What's he going
to
get?
It depends on what he wants. If he wants to be somebody who still has one more Super Bowl run in him, this would probably be a good place for him to remain, even if it means not as much money. If he's interested only as money, and I don't know why he would be, he's made a lot and so is his wife, then he's probably going to have to go to another team if he wants what he's currently making. I don't know if the Steelers want to pay a 37-year-old $40 to $45 million.
No, I don't think so either.
But if he wants to make a deal that's reasonable for both sides, I think that's if this continues.
And I think he will. I think his primary goal right now is winning.
Yeah.
And I think he really likes it here, and he feels like this
and
is a place he can win.
And he wants to prove Sean Payton wrong. Probably motivates him quite a bit.
And this is, first of all, you have to have another place where you know you're going to be the guy and where you can win.
Right.
If it's all about money, I would say he would probably leave. But I don't think, because of all the things you just said, that's his number one priority right now. I know. He's getting paid by another team.
And that makes these two signings great. The Steelers have the least amount of money invested in their quarterback group than any team in the NFL, and they're getting production out of it.
How about this one, Bob? And nobody agrees with me. I still think there's a decent chance that Najee will sign here and stay here. Kabali puts it at like 7%. Fittipaldo thinks there's an extremely minimal chance of that. I think that Najee, if they give him a fair deal, I think he might be inclined to stay here.
I would agree, but what's a fair deal? You know, he's making more money with each game that goes by. $8 million a year, like Derrick Henry, $8 million a year.
Yeah, $9 million a year, something like that. That's
Can
my
you
whole
deal
point.
With
is that
three-year, $24 to $26 million deal?
Well, it depends. What if the Steelers say, "Go ahead out on the market"? Do you think someone's going to break the bank for him? And what does that even mean with running backs? Like, they're so affordable. If he gets $9 million, okay, then he's making Ogunjobi money. Is that going to break the franchise?
No. That's doable for them if they choose to do it. They're going to have to come up with a little bit more money for Jalen Warren, of course, and that's fine. It won't be at that level, but it'll be good money for him. And so it'll still be – I like their 1-2 punch, and if I could keep them together, I would.
So would I, and I think there's a better chance of that than people are saying. Do you think he's burning underneath that he didn't get that fifth year?
I think that fuels him, sure. But I don't think he holds it against them. It's all part of the business, and this is what the CBA calls for, and they have to make decisions. But I don't think in any way he's going to say at the end of this, "Well, I'm leaving because you guys didn't believe in me." If he believes this is the right place for him and the money makes sense, then he'll stay.
He said in the preseason he still wants to stay here. He didn't have to say that. I mean, the whole thing has sort of an odd feel to it from the time it happened. I thought, knowing him, he's never afraid to express his opinion, that he was going to rage about this or rip them. But instead, when he was asked, when this all went down, if he wants to remain with the Steelers, he said, "Yeah, most definitely. I like it here in Pittsburgh. I like Coach T, Mr. Rooney, Omar, even Kevin Colbert when he was here." How could you not like Kevin Colbert, right? Everybody does, including Najee.
Absolutely.
It's a good city. Obviously, the people here are nice and welcoming. So he didn't have to say really any of that, right? He could have said, I mean, they just didn't show any confidence in me long term. We'll decide that later. I'm here to play this season. I'll have a better answer for you after the season. Instead, he went out of his way to say he likes it.
And that's why I think if the price is right, he would remain. And they want him to be part of it. I'm sure they do based on how he's performed so far. This is the best version of him we've seen in 4 years.
Easily. Easily the best version of him. And I've been trying to analyze this, and we've been talking about it. Like, why? What is happening that is making him different? And Bob, I just think I made this up a couple years ago. Like, there's a stat for everything. How about number of helmets you're hit by on a running play? Number of hats on a body. He would have led the league. You go back Just go back and turn on a game from 2-3 years ago or last year. There's no run. I haven't seen many running backs who had more guys hit him on a given play than Najee. And the reason that's not happening, I think, is because of scheme. And now, because you have to make teams respect you over the top, they can't commit as many people to the box. And I think his vision looks better because he actually has a chance to use it. You can't be a runner who displays vision if you've got 18 guys tackling you within a yard of the line of scrimmage every time you carry it. You need a chance to exercise your vision. And I think now he's got a little more room, a little more space to where we're seeing what he actually is. And I'm loving it.
No, there's no question.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense. And we have seen him look when he gets into free space almost like a Saquon Barkley. He can make moves. He can make a quick move to get a guy off his game, break an ankle or two along the way.
Free space being the key line there.
Right, but he hasn't. I mean, a lot of it is his doing, and a lot of it is their doing. But when he gets there, and we've seen it more this year than we've seen in the past, he is a guy who, because I always said, does he have the home run speed? Does he have, even Derrick Henry at this age can turn it into a 90-yard touchdown. Can he do that?
He doesn't. He doesn't have
but
that kind of
speed. But he does have the ability to turn it into a 40-yard.
Yes.
And that's, you know, still very, very important to a team like the Steelers who want to run the ball as much as they want to run the ball. And here's the biggest thing about him, Joe. I've said it over and over, and I don't believe in jinxes, but he never fumbles the football. He is the most reliable guy that I've seen in terms of guys. You know, he's carrying six guys with him. They're trying to get the ball out. He's got very, very good hands in terms of protecting the football.
Jerry Dulac has come out with a story about the Steelers and the trade deadline and what their priorities might be. You might be surprised at this.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is called The Joe Starkey Show. But there's going to be some exciting announcements in the future. City Limits. Can't tell anybody what they are. You look very perplexed.
I don't even know what's going on.
Perhaps saddened.
No, I'm confused more than anything. How would I be saddened if I don't know what the end of that question is?
Bob, does he seem like his usual self today, Limits?
I just had a heart-to-heart with him about some things. So, yeah, I just think it's part of growing up. A lot of the
things you
have to go through.
Right. Now, I was afflicted a long time ago with chronic low-level dissatisfaction. Do you have any of that?
Low-level dissatisfaction.
Chronic, yeah.
No, I think people need to understand that life is full of ups and downs. And if you get yourself stuck in the downs, it's harder to get to the good part. So
it's kind of like a football game, isn't it?
It is.
Me and you are just entering the fourth quarter.
I don't want to think of that in terms. Even golf analogies scare me right now. What hole would I be on? I don't want to even answer that question.
It is frightening. Maybe for me, what am I on?
The back
what hole
nine.
Am I on?
You're
am
on
I in the
12th
hole?
I think we're both by, life expectancy. We're on the back nine somewhere. But I'm hoping for a rain delay.
Yeah.
Thunder, lightning,
something.
Get a
rain delay for sure. All right, Jerry Dulac. Listen to this. Steelers eyeing trade deadline reinforcements, but receiver is now lower in priority, Bob. Tomorrow's the 4 p.m. deadline. And as he said, the offensive line has lost three players to season-ending injuries. Fatanu, Daniels, Nate Herbig. But they've got decent, they've weathered the storm with some decent depth there. But what about a veteran there? The secondary gets Cam Sutton back for this game against Washington, but you and I just talked about that. He said the most logical position might be outside linebacker, where Herbig missed three games with a significant hamstring injury, and Leal is out for the season with a neck injury. He said they don't have a backup nose tackle right now, and they just allowed the Giants to rush for a season-high 157. Now listen to this part. this is the key part. The Steelers might have added a number two receiver last week if Christian Kirk didn't sustain a season-ending collarbone injury. So he's with whoever, was it Schefter who said they were all over Christian Kirk?
Right. No details on what that might have taken to get him and how much money the Steelers would have had to pay in this whole thing, but yes.
But here's the key line that Dulac writes. Since Wilson has been inserted as the starter, the Steelers have been encouraged about the involvement of receivers Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin III, mm-hmm. and even tight end Darnell Washington. It has also made George Pickens even more of a big play receiver. So he seems to be intimating that wide receiver is less of a priority here, Bob, although he says at the end, none of that is to suggest the Steelers would rule out a deal for a receiver, but their target could be elsewhere. Thoughts, opinions,
well, as we said
emotions,
earlier, my
feelings.
Thought is the same about Russell Wilson unlocking guys, and we've seen it. The numbers bear that out in just two games. Both Calvin Austin and Van Jefferson have been more involved than they were with Justin Fields.
Yes.
And that's when you have a guy who has the reputation that and the experience that Russell Wilson has, he can do that over somebody like Justin Fields. So those guys will become more involved, but this still means you need some help in case of an injury. You always have to think this in the NFL. It is a war of attrition. There are going to be injuries. And if an injury should occur, especially to somebody like George Pickens, then what? You need depth. So that's why I still think they're going to come up with a wide receiver somewhere, somehow. It may not be a big enough name to satisfy people, but they will. To your point about defensive line, you and I both thought that was the one area that you really need some more insurance. They play a rough game in there, and they, if Keanu Benton, who's been real good, I think, gets injured, okay, who plays over there? Who's the guy who's next in line? And how does it affect those around him? So you can always upgrade, and you can always get and this is why their practice squad has been expanded, and they have a lot of veterans on their practice squad because of these extra, 17 games now, soon to be 18 down the road. You don't just have guys who are undrafted free agents on your practice squad. You have veterans waiting to get an opportunity.
So maybe the question is best phrased this way. If you could pick one position for the Steelers to upgrade at the trade deadline, what would it be?
See, I said, as you said, defensive line would be something for me.
Over receiver.
I don't think it's going to be a big name receiver. So yes, if it's just somebody who comes in with depth, that's fine. If you can get an Adam Thielen, a Mike Williams, those kinds of guys, but they've been injured and been, Thielen's at least productive when he's healthy. He did that last year. So I kind of would prefer him, but it's not a bigger name. I want depth pieces who can help me in case of injury. That's how I would view what they have right now, their needs.
Limits, where would you go? I give you one position to upgrade with a trade. What's it going to be?
Yeah, I said wide receiver just because, some of those things are true with Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin, but I want to play off of history that those guys have not proven that they can do it over a consistent amount of time and against the biggest opponents. I just, like Bob, don't know who's still there. Calvin Ridley, maybe? Cooper Kupp, the Rams won again. They're not trading him. So I would want a wide receiver, but at this point, pivoting to defensive line is probably the most likely thing because there's nobody left.
All right. I just got a tweet here from somebody. I was kind of shocked this morning when I heard Starkey and Pompiani making Kelsey, Jason Kelsey, out to be a hostage surrounded by wild teenagers. Yeah, nobody said that. Good try.
Yeah,
horrible listening.
That's not what we said.
It was one gutless little probably internet troll who doesn't think that real people exist who actually approached somebody and insulted their family that way. So I would hope you, whoever wrote that, would react in such a way too. Somebody else called it assault. No, it wasn't. He took his phone and slammed it on the ground. Now, what these people are looking at, probably delusional.
No,
from what I can tell.
They want to make all these people who create the problems the victims of the problems.
Right.
You create the problem by doing what he did.
Right. Exactly.
And believe me,
nobody said anything about wild teenagers. Nobody said anything about him being a hostage.
He was walking away, and the guy persisted and persisted and persisted.
Amazing what these people hear and see. It's very, very delusional. Limits? Thoughts?
Yeah, I think the whole entire Kelsey thing is just completely ridiculous. The guy that was taunting him, it's just dumb. It's people that are looking to become TikTok famous and Instagram famous, and it's just clowns that are trying to have all this self-centered attention around themselves because they know what they're doing. They have their phone out for a reason. They know they post this, they're going to go viral. And I'm sure that the guy that this happened to is probably, oh, well, I'm going to go viral for getting my phone tossed down too. Good on Kelsey for slamming his phone.
Assault of a phone, I guess. But I would ask these people, if someone walks up to you from out of nowhere and insults your family, what do you do? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, how much of it are you supposed to take? You can tell them, hey, please get out of my face. I'm just doing my job, blah, 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 and they persist. You know, I'm sorry, but it's an antagonistic world right now. And they're doing it with the thought of getting video that can go someplace and help them out selfishly. And it's stupid.
All right, Bob. Coming up, why don't we take a look at the NFL at large, writ large, as Malzi likes to say. Halfway through the season, this is the de facto halfway point, and there's awards to be handed out. There's predictions to be made. Let's do that. There's already been coaches fired. So yeah. If you had first coach fired as Robert Saleh, you were right on board. Boy, that really seems to have helped the Jets, doesn't it, Bob? They've won one game since then. And yet somehow I consider them to be slightly dangerous. Do you?
I mean, if you're playing them, they can be dangerous. I don't look at them as dangerous as far as a playoff contender. They've dug a deep hole. They're not going to get out of it. It would take too much to expect from that team. I saw a first half in their game last week, which was atrocious. And they got back into the game and won the game. But they also did some pretty stupid things that could have derailed them as well. So what are they? Not a threat to me.
I think they're talented. I think they're a top-end talented team that if you face them in the play, it all depends on if you think Aaron Rodgers is still dangerous. Do you or no?
Not as dangerous. Dangerous in the sense that he can still make a throw down the field to Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson. Sure, he can do that if given time, but he's not as dangerous because he can't move the way he used to move. And when you can't move that way, part of what his success was not running per se, but just moving the pocket. Like a young
that
Lamar
part of his game
Jackson
is gone. Right. You're right about
he can't
that.
Can't do it. Flacco can't do it either. You know, you can say what you want about
Flacco, a disaster last night.
You can say what you want about Anthony Richardson, but the one thing he will do is be able to maneuver and get away from traffic, whereas Flacco's a sitting duck. Too many sitting ducks when you get older. That's just the way it is.
That game really, and I loved what he's done so far, but that really exposed him last night. He was horrific in that game. They had a great first drive, ended with a fumble. And then nothing after that. That was some ugly offensive football. All right, Bob. Let's get into an NFL midseason report next. Bob Pompiani will hand out awards. 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We can also wind up our talk about James Franklin and Pitt and a very disappointing weekend for Pitt fans and Penn State fans. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 70 today with cloudy skies. Do I owe you anything else from that hour limits? I'm very confused at the moment.
Would you like to tell us about the mustache, man?
Of course I would. I knew I owed you that. I meant the other stuff. Thank you, Limits.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.